This happened, part three.
Did you ever notice inappropriate behavior from him?
Oh, absolutely.
Our mutual friend Malia again.
And it's one of those things that, like, looking back on it, I see things with clarity, and I begin to understand my motivations for what was to come. As coming, it was a gradual, like, you know, he was wacky and wild and, like, did stupid things at parties, like dance on the table. But then sometimes he'd dance on the table and light things on fire in someone's living room, my living room. And, like, it was inappropriate and irritating. And, you know, he was always trying to, like, flirt with girls. And then once in a while we'd have to leave a party because, like, someone's boyfriend was mad at him. And it'd be like, fucking Matt, what did you do? Or like, I would have to explain to this girl, like, it's okay, I'm sorry he licked your neck. Like, he's just, like, kind of inappropriate. It's not, like, malicious. And there was always, like, this slowly escalating pattern of, like, really inappropriate behavior that I was always sort of apologizing for and making, like, oh, that's Matt. Matt's weird. Matt's inappropriate. But he's harmless, as it were. And looking back, I see that was a pretty dumb thing to do. But it's like, it's kind of like those, like, thought experiments they do about, like, the Nazis, where it's like starts off and you're like the person helping the Jews in the neighborhood, but then the Nazis are like, oh, you have to be the ghetto captain, and then you have to choose, like, which people to send to the concentration camp. And it starts from something small and innocuous and leads to, like, oh my god, you're the leader of the SS. I might be exaggerating, but, like, and I feel like that's sort of how it went. It was like, oh, he's just stupid and drunk, to, like, when I got bit by a dog because he was waiting for us to all leave a party while one of my friends was passed out on the couch and sort of, like, hovering over her. And even though emotionally, as someone who had invested a friendship and therefore a certain amount of, like, responsibility, I didn't want to believe that he would actually molest her, I still made sure that he needed to get out of the house with us, that she was going to sleep on that couch alone without him. And the dog thought I was attacking her when I was yelling at him, and the dog bit me. And that was one of those, like, what the fuck am I doing with this friendship with Matt? And yeah, like, him lurking and being weird and saying inappropriate things and just, like, and so many people were always like, you know, Matt's creepy, I don't want him at my house. You know, people hated him, and I was constantly offering excuses. Sort of a, like, determined obliviousness to that.
Malia hints at something when she talks about suddenly realizing you're the head of the SS. The inappropriate behavior from Matthew escalated gradually, and the people around him became practiced at making excuses and protecting him from the consequences of his actions. It was habit, so when they were hit with the news of what he'd done to me, this was their default response. And they had a vested interest in protecting him because, on some level, they felt complicit in his behavior. But this is only a tiny piece in the puzzle. The how and why of my friend's reactions to the sexual assault is much bigger.
We don't usually excuse that kind of thing.
Yes.
What do you think it was? Like, was it something about him in particular or your friendship in particular that made it really difficult to not excuse it?
Well, I think, you know, the friendship, especially from the beginning, there's a sort of positive feedback. Like, he himself is not necessarily, like, a cool person. Like, he made me feel cool, participating in, like, the cultural here and now, having those, like, exciting friend moments. There was a certain amount of, like, feedback from him while, like, he was wanting to be the center of the attention, but he was dragging you along. Sort of just, like, the feeling of being able to just, like, walk up to the club in Echo Park and know all the bouncers and skip the line and get in and know the bartenders and, like, get a drink and go to the dance floor and know the DJ and know, like, all the other cool kids in the club and just, like, feel like this is our moment.
I mean, you know, it's just like he's the kind of guy, you know, we go out with him and go see a movie and have the best time. You know, and he also loves L.A. and loves the things in L.A. and wants to try the best food. So he's a good source. You know, he was always like a good source. And he's like the first one to tell you about a cool restaurant that's opening up, or have you been to this place, or have you been here, or have you been here to listen to this band? You know, this band's really cool. So just going to shows with him was fun. And like, I think that's why we all hung out with him for such a long time.
I'm Janie Williams, and you're listening to This Happened. People's unique relationships with Matthew may have made it difficult to let go of his friendship, but there was another side to their continued relationships that was far more mundane and had to do with a strange sense of propriety. My friend Veronica was never fully charmed by Matthew. She saw his bad behavior for what it was. So, unlike many of my other friends, she never doubted or distorted my story. And yet, her reaction played out much the same. In the following conversation, we're talking about the first time I told her of the assault. She had asked me if I would be coming to an event she was putting together at the Hollywood Bowl. I told her that I wouldn't come if Matthew were coming, and I told her why.
So when I told you, you believed me?
I believed you. No, there was no doubt that he wouldn't do that.
Did you feel like knowing that that happened put you in a difficult position?
Oh, definitely. I think at that point you were going through a lot and you were just facing it, that you did put ultimatums. You know, you put an ultimatum that night. You said, if you're going to hang out with me, then I don't hang out with him. You know. And it was during the time that Angel, like, you know, we were planning the Hollywood Bowl thing. And to me, it was just like, what do you do now? It's like, do you disinvite? Do you do this? Do you do that? So it was awkward in that sense of like, what do you do with this information now?
When I gave you that ultimatum, what did you say?
I don't know if I said anything. Did I say something? I don't know if I said anything.
What happened with the Hollywood Bowl thing? Did he go?
Mm-hmm.
Did I go?
No. No, he didn't go.
What do you imagine I would have felt about that?
Horrible. Here you are, you're sharing the news that this guy is a monster, pretty much. But you're the one that's been isolated and out. Of course, you know, you felt like, you know, like everyone's taking his side, but it wasn't about taking sides, and I hope you don't see it that way. No one was taking sides. You know, it's just like, here's a bomb of information that, you know, it happened to you, and, you know, it's just like we're all seeing how crazy he is, but he's making an effort to not be excluded whatsoever. People weren't including him. It wasn't like that. It was just, he made the effort to, like, not be excluded and not be a pariah. You, however, you were just like, I can't be near him or even see him, so I'm going to remove myself completely from the situation. You know, but I don't think people stopped talking to you. You and I kept talking. You and I kept hanging out outside of that situation, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But Matt was still being invited everywhere.
Or was the source of doing everything. You have to also understand, it was very awkward for everybody. This is something that had happened. And then the bomb is dropped, and it's just like, this is what happens. And you're just like, fuck. Like, okay, like, someone that is considered a friend and part of the social group is this fucking weirdo, you know, rapist. And you're just like, what do you do with this information? And then you leave. So there was never avoiding it. It was never like, oh, he's here, I'm leaving. So, okay, so if Matthew shows up, I can't be like going up to him in public and saying you're a fucking rapist to people. Like,
I'm just gonna play devil's advocate here. Why not?
Because you're not here anymore. You left.
Yeah, but remember, I left after I told you.
Yeah.
And Matthew was the one to come to your gathering.
The Hollywood Bowl, because he had already bought a ticket. But it's just like, what do I say, Janie? I say, Matthew's no longer invited because he's a rapist. That's not, that I can't share that information unless you have told everybody about it. It wasn't mine to spread. That news, that information wasn't mine to spread. I'm not like that. I don't like gossiping. At that point, it's just like, what do I do other than wanting to slap him? You know, I do what I continue to do. Keep a wall up. Keep a level of separation between us. Like, I can't avoid you because we run with the same group of friends. But we're not huggy, lovey-dovey-dovey friends, you know? It's just like, in the minute you get awkward with me, I just smack him away. That's all I could have done at that time.
Kind of, I understand what you're saying about why you reacted the way you do, but I'm just hoping you can understand, because of the reaction, my answer was, no, I don't have a home here, and I can't exist here. I can't. My best friends were still hanging out with the person who did that to me, knowing it. And I had no place here because of it. And so I also had this question for myself. What do I do with that? What do I do with that information? Like, you know, and there was also no clear answer to that. Like,
right, but my thing is just like, you weren't outed. It was just like, there's an invite, and you, and because of your, you know, it's unfortunate that you were the one that put yourself in the place of like, well, I can't be around him, and that he had no remorse and shame to the place that he should have said, oh, Janie's gonna be there, I shouldn't be there. He never had that.
Right.
He was just like, oh, is Janie gonna be there? And he wanted to know if you were gonna be there because he wanted to be there.
Well, if not,
you know,
but I want to take it back just a second, because you said that I put myself in the position of,
you chose to not interact.
I don't think that's a choice. I think once you face something like that, I don't think that's a choice. I think if I continued to hang out with him after that, there would have been something really fucked up with me, and I would have been, I mean, I don't think that's a choice though. That I didn't have a choice, you know. That
but no one, what I'm saying by that is just no one collectively said, let's turn our back on Janie.
I know you didn't. I know that never happened, but it didn't matter. It was the result was still the same.
There is a lot going on in this conversation with Veronica. But for now, let's stick with the answers she is providing about why she reacted the way she did. What I understood her to be saying was that the assault would have been awkward to address, and she didn't want to create drama. This aversion to awkwardness and drama she experienced as prohibitive. She says, there was nothing I could have done. Veronica also felt it wasn't her place to say or do anything about the assault. It didn't happen to her, which made it not her business and perhaps not her problem. Nicole made a similar point when she said she distanced herself from the assault by saying, well, I'm a different person. As if sexual assault was like an argument between mutual friends, the kind of scenario where it would make sense not to take sides. My mother takes a similar stance. In the conversation that follows, the woman she is referring to, Diane, is Matthew's mother.
Did you still talk to her after that?
Mm-hmm. I know I was still talking to her because I thought, every time she brought up Matthew, I thought she must wonder why I don't follow through. You know, she'll say, Matthew's doing so good, and I would say, great. Or Matthew's got a new job, and I would say, great. And then I would, you know, say I'm busy or something, because I thought I just couldn't have a conversation with her about Matthew. It wasn't my job to tell her. but I wasn't going to have a conversation.
Why wasn't it?
To tell her that her son assaulted my daughter. I don't know. I don't think it was. I don't think that's the same as even telling the police. Matthew's grown and on his own, and they've got enough problems in their relationship. I mean, I don't want to be her friend, but it's not because of what her son did. She didn't make him do that.
My mother says she doesn't want to be Diane's friend, but it's not because of what Matthew did. Sure, that makes sense. But her statements make it seem as though telling the truth about what happened is vindictive, cruel even. And the default, normal thing to do is to keep the assault secret, to continue speaking with Diane as though nothing happened.
Do you still get calls from her?
Not really. She's on my Facebook.
A little bit later in our conversation, my mother tells me about when she was in her 20s, living in Charleston, and her neighbor set her up on a blind date. She came back from that date, and her landlady had something to say.
And my landlady, she was not part of that particular code, and she said, I see you came in with, you know, whatever his name was. And I said, yeah, so-and-so fixed me up with him. We had a blind date. And she said, he's a rapist. I said, what? And she said, oh, his family's got money and they hushed it up. But he had a girlfriend and he raped her. And they got it hushed up and paid hush money. And
so this code that you're talking about, can you describe what it is?
Code or habit of secretly that girls don't tell because people will say, well, you know, I wonder, well, we've heard this till it's coming out our ears and we're sick of it, you know, how is she dressed, or I wonder what she did, she, you know, she always did stay out too late, and what does she think if she dances with him like that, and you know, that kind of thing. I don't even know if I've ever heard anybody say that. I think girls just expected that that would happen if they told.
Now, it's true we've heard about that aspect of it, but I haven't heard that much talked about the people who are close to the woman when the woman says what happened, keeping it a secret, you know, not, just kind of trying not to talk about it and kind of not wanting a scene, not wanting drama, not wanting awkwardness, and therefore just not talking about it with anyone and kind of pretending it didn't happen.
So do you think I should have talked to his mother?
I tell my mother that I don't really want to get into what anyone should have done. I'm trying to figure out what happened when I told my friends and family and why. Like Veronica, my mother felt it wasn't her place to tell others. She continued to speak with my attacker's mother as though nothing had happened, and never considered informing her about what her son had done. The rest of my friends weren't talking about it either.
But not a lot of discussion. It's one of those things that was very delicate. A lot of people, like, you don't want to talk about that sort of thing.
People don't talk about it because it feels shameful. Like, they're like, wait, well, so, like, how exactly did it happen? Like, are you sure? And, like, people are in denial because they're like, well, you know, when things get going, like, you know, things could happen.
And, like, to me, it's just, like, in an instance like this, like, I don't know, I don't want to discuss it with anybody else because it's not, I wasn't part of it. You know, it's your experience, it's your suffering. I don't want to diminish that, I don't want to put it down, I don't want to say anything that, you know, might take away from that or have somebody else take it away from what the experience was.
People don't talk about it because they're embarrassed. It feels taboo and unrealistic
Unrealistic?
Like, it feels like, like, oh, people couldn't do that, like, you know, that can't exist.
It's hard for everyone in a community to face sexual assault. I mean, not even where the poor victim has to go through, but like everyone else is around feels like they should have done something, like they should have done more. They feel a little guilty, and there's, yeah, it's fracturing.
What do you think would have happened if you did talk about it with other people in the social group?
I don't know. Like, you know, it's just like, I mean, when it first was said, Malia and him were really good friends. I couldn't have talked to Malia about it. You know?
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know if I felt like she wasn't gonna say that was wrong. I don't know. I didn't want to hear what she was gonna say if it was gonna be in defense of him. You know, and once he put it on Facebook, again, I didn't want to hear if it was gonna be judgment on it. You know?
If there had been judgment on it.
Judgment on you.
Yeah. If there had been judgment on me, could that not have been an opportunity?
To say this is what it is?
For me? Yeah.
It's not that no one ever stood up for you, Janie. That's not...
How could they stand up for me if they weren't even talking
about
it?
No, but what I'm saying is just like...
It took a lot of courage to make what he'd done to me public. When I published it, my stomach lurched as if I were stepping off a cliff. But it was freeing, too. I'd been keeping it a secret for so long without really understanding why I was doing it. And I felt that by outing him, I was no longer complicit in it. I wanted the news to spread amongst our friends so that he wouldn't get away with it again. So that he might in some small way be held accountable. But as it turns out, me outing him wasn't really outing him. Because everyone around me covered it right back up again. This has been part 3 of This Happened, produced by me, Janie Williams. Original music by Jake Staley. In the next episode.
I feel like I always find like the victim and the perpetrator somehow. You know, I remember feeling really bad for you, and then also felt bad for Matt.
I mean, okay, look, when you posted the Facebook thing, I felt the Facebook post was inappropriate to post to a public situation.
Now, I guess I'm still worrying about the where is your level of responsibility just for taking precautions. Drugs and alcohol are a factor in terms of being fearful. It makes it more likely that bad things can happen.
That's true. But what are you really saying with that